Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me this week, I have my two good friends. I have Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
Hello. Bye.
Hello. And I also have Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Hey, glad to be back after I missed a week.
Yeah, glad to have you back. Hope you're feeling better. I have some noise in my headphones. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had some noise here too.
I just thought an airplane was taxiing out of your driveway.
Yes, something like that. Well, we've got another big show for everyone. Lots of little tidbits of news to talk about, lots of games that we're playing right now, and our Switch 2 rumors of the week this week for you to talk about. But let's get started with some news items. And Mario vs. Donkey Kong, we did talk about this briefly last week, but there's another new trailer that dropped couple of days ago, and this is to do with the intro scene for the game, which comes out on I think it's February the 16th, so not too far away, a few weeks. And have you guys had a chance to check this out?
I did not. I was afraid of spoilers.
Yeah. And what about you, Trev?
Yeah, I watched it. It kind of reminded me of some of the intros from like the March of the Mini game or Minis on the Move.
Mm-hmm. And Trev, if you listened to us last week, you would have heard our mistake that we couldn't remember which system this original game was on. I think we guessed the DS or the 3DS, and I think it's actually the GBA, right? It's the Game Boy Advance.
This first one was GBA.
Yes. Yeah. So slight games. Retraction from last week. We needed you to.
So I was playing. So I never played this one then. I played the one that was just on the DS. Was it a sequel? Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2, something like that?
Yeah, there's well, the couple. Later ones, you controlled the minis, and this one, you actually control Mario, even though it's the same type of formula. Mm. Because the later, you know, were designed around the DS touchscreen, so you were tapping and the minis were kind of marching like lemmings.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this one, you have the direct control over Mario. Because I never played this one either, even though I was aware of it.
Yeah, I haven't played this one. I played the one where you control the minis, which was really fun. So I'm looking forward to this one. So yeah, I think we're in the same boat, Kirk.
I think what happened with me is I played this one on the DS because I had the DS that allowed you to plug Game Boy Advance games into it. Mm-hmm. So that may have been what caused my confusion.
Maybe. And I just didn't know. So sorry.
No, it's still my mistake.
Yeah. Anyway, the trailer, it's literally just the intro to the game. I mean, you could say it's a spoiler, I guess. How old is this game? It's like 20 years old. But it's so the original intro is, I think, just like static screens, pretty much, a little bit of movement. This is a completely revamped. It looks like what they might have done for, say, Super Mario RPG in terms of graphical quality. It looks really nice. It's all 3D. It's got Donkey Kong, Mario, Toads. And it just sets the scene of why we're chasing Donkey Kong through the game, basically. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll have seen this trailer while we're talking, because I'll stick it into this podcast. But yeah, it looks really great. It looks lovely, the graphics.
And I have to imagine that they're probably going to have other like revamped cutscenes, like as you go between worlds or however the levels or stages are laid out. So
yes,
yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I hope so. I imagine so. And yeah, they've got, 130 plus levels. So we're looking for a pretty solid game to keep us going through February while we wait for something else, I guess. I keep thinking of what you always say, Trev, that we're sport for choice at the moment when it comes to games. We just have a lot on the go, which is really good. It's a good problem to have, right?
So, and we still want more, though.
We do. We're never satisfied.
Like, it's cool to see Donkey Kong in this game, but where's my next Donkey Kong Country game?
It did make me think that, because you know he's obviously the villain in this game, I guess you could say, and then we've got Donkey Kong, whatever the new rides are at Nintendo World, and he was in the movie last year. Like, he's kind of around at the moment, so is Nintendo building to something?
Well, this is true to the original Donkey Kong, because he was the villain in that, grabbing. I don't even think they called her Pauline back then. I think she was just Lady. But
yes, Lady. My favorite part of the trailer, though, is the little shy guy reading the news. He's like, row, 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 whatever his noise he makes. And I'm like, I'm a fan of shy guys. So, speaking of shy guys, slight segue, we watched the Mario movie again recently, and my son is really good at just finding little Easter eggs and pausing movies and shows to see things. And he saw that there's a part of the movie in Bowser's area where there's Shy Guys, and one of them takes off his mask, which you've never seen a Shy Guy without his mask before, right? But his back is to us and he's facing like Goombas or whatever. And they're like shocked. They have this shocked look on their face. And he paused it and said, "Look at this. The Shy Guy took his mask off." I'm like, "Whoa, cool." But you can't actually see what he can't. We can't see what his face looks like.
Well, they have to keep it PG. You can't have full frontal.
Yeah. And maybe he's got some like Deadpool kind of situation going where he's not got an attractive face. I don't know. But yeah, anyway. We'll keep this family quality as well. We won't talk about Deadpool. So, yeah.
The next about Once Upon a Deadpool. Did you ever see that?
Oh, no. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. No.
That was the PG-13 version.
Yeah. It would have been like a third of the movie. Like, they would have cut 2/3 of it out.
Well, they had the scenes with him and Fred Savage, like sort of like The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Except, you know, he's an adult, but they remade the bedroom and it was actually pretty good. I liked it.
That's cool. I love that.
Still barely PG-13 though. You could still, I mean, it's Deadpool, so.
Yeah.
Like PG-15.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're pushing it a little bit there. Anyway, that's all good. So yes, Mario vs. Donkey Kong, new trailer. Check it out and look forward to the game. I'm sure we'll talk about it when it comes out as well. Another little piece of news that I thought was interesting and really kind of a nice little news piece is that Nintendo, so there were some devastating earthquakes in Japan earlier this month. I think there were 7 point something on the Richter scale. There were, you know, a lot of people were affected, obviously, terrible situation. Nintendo is donating 50 million yen to aid earthquake victims via Red Cross, which I think is, you know, a nice thing to do as a big company. And they're also offering free repairs, you know, which seems probably the least they could do. But yeah, so I think for a 6-month period, if you're in some sort of zone that was affected, you can get your Switch or whatever device repaired for free. So I just thought that was worth mentioning.
Will that include Joy-Con drift?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Not to make light of the earthquake.
No. Too soon. I don't know. You'd have to ask.
We've still been covering Joy-Con drift, not to get off topic, but I think that's kind of just been extended indefinitely.
Oh, the repairing of those?
At least, I don't know. I feel like at least in the US, they're still doing it, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I have no idea what they do here. I just traded mine in and got new ones. So.
Yeah, I only had to do it once, but I know some people had to do it many times, so.
Yeah, I know. I hope that, you know, whatever we come up with for the Switch 2, if they're doing Joy-Cons, I hope they're a bit more robust and stable, to be honest.
I mean, it's crazy. I can still use my NES and it still works. How many decades is that? And I have more trouble with my Switch. That's
yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Nintendo's always been known for their controllers as well, I think, over the years. You know, making them interesting and unique. Look at the Nintendo 64 one. And pretty robust overall. I love the Super Nintendo one. That was probably my favorite, but I also love the Super Nintendo. But I tend to just use the Pro Controller on my Switch now. I don't even, you know, I got the Zelda one last year. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My controller issues go all the way back to the Intellivision system.
Ooh, really?
Which were attached to the system. So when they went bad, and they did, you had to actually take out, unscrew the controller, take out the circuit matrix, and replace that.
Wow.
And it was all on plastic. It was a very weird system, but that was the beginning of my very short-term engineering career. Replacing circuit matrixes in Intellivisions.
Do you the have
on that weren't long either, were they? You kind of had to hover above the system.
Yeah, no, yeah, maybe about 2 feet, you know, 3 feet. You know, they were coiled, so yeah, you couldn't go far. You were sitting on the floor right in front of the thing.
Yeah, TVs were smaller back then, I guess, though, right?
It wasn't like the kitchen phone where you could walk it from the kitchen to the other end of the house because the cord just
because we all only had one phone in the house, so.
Oh man, we're old.
Yeah, we are.
Do you have a Switch Lite, Kirk? I think you, one of your...
I do, yes.
Do? Yeah. Yep. Have you ever had issues with those controls?
No. But no? With, and I've had numerous, I think we got four sets of Joy-Con now, and only one of them ever had any amount of drift, and that was the one that came with the original system. Any that we bought separately, we've never had a problem, knock on wood.
Well, that's good. Yep. Yeah, I think I did trade in my original. I think I had the gray. No, I had the red and blue. Yeah. The original colors,
but there's always a risk when you're an early adopter, though. I mean, like, even with the DS, I remember, or 3DS, I think the first model, when you flipped it, it would leave like scratches on the screen. So, like, I feel like any early adopter, they're gonna always improve their hardware. Same thing with the kickstand, like the original Switch, it was kind of like on the side,
yeah.
Some people had problems with cracking. Was it either on the dock or was it on the Switch itself? But there would be
I remember
cracks.
That.
Would, again, that didn't happen with me, but I also tended to keep it docked, so I didn't move it around as much as many people would.
Yeah, mine's pretty secure and safe, I think, in docked mode most of the time. So, yeah, interesting. Well, yeah, hopefully the next system will, I don't know, cover off some of these issues. But, yeah, like you said, early adopters, kind of a bit of a testing situation, test market almost. I mean, obviously they do their beta tests quite thoroughly, but yeah, once it's out with in millions of people's hands, then there's bound to be a certain percentage that go wrong, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
It's been long enough now, Jim. I think you can get the OLED.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. The day I get it, it'll be Switch 2. So no, I won't. That's okay. Well, let's move on to the next piece of news, which is, I'm glad you put this intro because I wanted to talk about Prince of Persia anyway, just because I like it so much. But this is really cool. There's a new Accolades trailer that's out now, and it just kind of highlights, you know, how great the game is, obviously, and how well it's been scoring. And it's really cool that it mentions us, Pure Nintendo. Our score is listed amongst other, reviewers. So I think that's really cool that we're up there. I remember Justin reached out to me because I did the review and we published it. And Justin reached out saying, hey, Ubisoft wants to mention us in their, on their whatever, socials, trailers, whatever. Is that cool with you? I assume it is. I'm like, yeah, totally. Totally fine. Let's do it. So, yeah, glad to see it made it.
Great. Thumbs up, emoji.
Publishers, developers, if you get us codes early, and not at launch day or a week after launch, we like the game, you know. You can use us in trailers.
Yeah, and don't think 1 week is often early enough.
yeah.
Some of these games require a little more time.
Yeah. No, I was really happy to make the embargo for this one. We got it. When did we get this? It was over a week in advance, wasn't it? I think. Just over a week, week and a half, 2 weeks.
That doesn't happen as much as you might think.
No, but I'm glad it did for this one because it was well worth it. Obviously, it's a good game, doing very well. Have you guys had a chance to play the demo or the game as yet? Because the demo is out now as well.
Not yet, but it is not on my list of games to pick up.
Yeah, that's okay. I was just curious as to what was in the demo. Because one thing I didn't mention last week when we talked about it, I don't think I mentioned it at least, were the amulets that you collect. It's another really cool aspect where you... Sargon the hero has a necklace, and he has amulets that he hangs on his necklace, and they give you powers, essentially. And you can only have a certain number of amulets at a time, so you can switch between them once you have more than that number. So you collect them. You can also upgrade your necklace to add more amulets as well along the way. So it's really cool. My favorite, though, you might find this amusing. It's useful, but it's not necessarily powerful. I love, the reason I like it is not necessarily because of the power it gives you. So there's an amulet, I can't remember what it's called, but it essentially helps you find treasure. So it does that by giving you a little parrot or some sort of bird that follows you. And I just want the bird to follow me. That's what I want. I would love this little bird companion for some reason. But the thing he does to help you is that he chirps when there's a treasure nearby. So it's like an indicator, hey, there's a treasure in this room, you know, seek it out kind of thing. And I use that, you know, when he chirps, I sometimes look for treasures. Otherwise, I'm just like, I can't be bothered today. I'll come back or whatever. But I just love having a little companion with me. That's on this
like
journey.
A badge, like in Mario Wonder.
Yeah. It's like a badge. Exactly. Yes. It's called an amulet. But I just wanted a companion because when I first started playing the game, you know, there's these monstrous people coming at you and it's a little scary, and I just wanted a little friend to come with me. So I liked having the little parrot. So he's my favorite amulet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes, I do recommend the game. Obviously, it's very good. I'm still tinkering with it as I play games during the week. I just pick it up every now and then and keep going with it. So it is, you know, it's a game that I'll continue playing for a little bit longer, I think, as I collect more treasures and stuff.
That's always kind of a good review game, if you keep playing it after the review's up.
Totally. I completely agree. And a lot of the times I don't, and maybe I want to sometimes, but I don't have time. But this one I've made time because I do want to keep going with it. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely a good sign. Yeah. Half the time it's, yeah, oh, you just get the review done and then you move on, whether it's for time reasons or not. But, yeah. What else did I want to say about Prince of Persia? There's one other thing. Oh, just the map. You know, we've talked about this already, but with the photography element that you can do, I thought it would actually work really well in like a Zelda game, like Tears of the Kingdom. I was thinking about that this morning, how I keep putting markers down in Tears of the Kingdom and I have my lights. You know, I usually use the lights for shrines. I don't know what the lights are called. You know, you put your little marker down and it's like a beam of light to tell you where to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I usually do those for shrines and then you run out, of course. You can't do anymore. And then you've got your little icons you can do, but I place icons everywhere and then I come back and I'm like, I don't remember what that is. Like it looks like a eye for information. So what did I do that for? What is in that area? If you had the ability to take a picture of that scene, you know, and place it with your marker, then I think that would solve that issue. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that would be cool. Because I'm trying to think of how you would get back to it. I guess if you could click on it, then it would just pop up and show you what you were looking at.
I imagine.
In that case, I would definitely use it more often, as opposed to, you say, dropping icons all over the map and then having no idea what was what.
Yeah.
They give you some icons to make it obvious. Like, isn't there like a little Korok seed to indicate if you found a Korok somewhere and couldn't solve the puzzle or whatever?
Yeah,
I'd use it.
Well, you can't steal more light. It ended up looking like a disco. You got
pink,
sky, yellow beams. And
I do like the colored lights, but I just don't like running out. And then so when I find a shrine and I don't have a light, I'll make that my next goal. Like I can see it. So I'll be like, well, I better just go there now because I can't put a marker down. So
that nip propels you to go get the things. So, you know, you're not stacking too many things up behind you. You have to better go get one of these because now I found this one and I got to.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeps your task list short.
Yeah. It's already a long task list. So, exactly. Yeah. So I was.
It's like a stone's throw away and then you're running towards it and you're like, oh, wait.
Yeah. It seems so close. It's really deceptive. Yeah. You're like
Jesus. When the shooting stars that fall, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go get that. I'm like, eh. I can't make it. And then you finally get over the hill and find out that there's something blocking you and you can't go the way you wanted to anyway. And
Yeah. Well, then you're climbing a mountain and it rains and you haven't got the frog suit. You're like, Yes, exactly. Oh, that's good.
How do we get on Zelda? Were we talking about Prince of Persia?
I don't know. The map. But I will just say, I wonder if, because it's such a cool feature and, you know, Kirk and I talked about it last week, I just wonder if other games will include this in future situations. I don't know. I hope they do. That's all I have to say about that. Anyway, let's move on to the next piece of news, which whose news is this? Because the title is that Lawn Mowing Simulator is coming to the Switch.
This is the world's news. Everybody, everybody clamoring for Lawn Mowing Simulator coming to the Switch. I added this because as we were talking beforehand and Trevor mentioned, wait, this came out a long time ago. I reviewed it. And I kind of thought the same thing, but then I looked and found out this is actually a different lawn mowing simulator. So apparently this is a genre that needed at least two games. This is a game that came out on Steam, it looks like, in 2021. It just struck me as amusing that we're getting a game that's it. I should clarify, it's not just you mowing lawns. This one is focusing on running a business of mowing lawns. That's one of the things they highlight. Like, they want to separate themselves from all the other lawn mowing simulators out there. This one has, as they put here on their thing, ground checks, the proper choice of blade height, monitoring your engine load. They're all part of the daily mowing business. So right. you get to set up your own empire of mowing throughout the bliss of the British countryside.
Oh, okay.
That sounds so, like there's nice lawns, good grass.
Yeah, quite big lawns then, I guess, if you're talking like acres and acres of countryside.
They've got licensed mower brands, including Toro. I personally have a Toro, but it's not as fancy as the ones in the game, I'm sure. Just a push mower.
Wow, okay. I don't know any brands of mower. I don't even know what brand I have.
John Deere.
They don't mention John Deere, but yeah, that would... Yeah.
That's the only one I know.
Do they have electric
push mowers that don't even have an engine like Homer has?
Yeah. Yes. We had. Do you start off with that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what they should have? They completely missed a tie-in opportunity here on Nintendo. They should have had Link with his spin move and the sword.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Or at least as you're mowing, occasionally come across a rupee and have it pop up behind you.
That would have been cool. Some DLC or an update.
Yeah.
This game does have DLC. It's not coming out until March, but we're going to get, what is the DLC? Dino Safari DLC, which looks like you're mowing at like a dino themed park. Ancient Britain DLC that has someone mowing at Stonehenge.
Okay. Well, someone's going to, do the groundskeeping at Stonehenge, right? Yeah. The lawn's not going to mow itself.
Or does it? Maybe when the alien ships come back. And,
true.
You get crop circle mowing.
No one's ever asked, how do the lawns get mowed at Stonehenge? Why does it always look so nice? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, the government's going to flag this podcast or something.
Do they have electric mowers in Lawn Mowing Simulator? I'm interested to know.
Well, I think one of the brands they mentioned is EGO, and I think they do electric mowers. EGO lawnmower. Let's see.
Cool.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe it's Echo. Oh yeah, no, EGO Power. Yes, these. I see. I was looking for a new lawnmower recently, and I saw this brand listed. So yes, they are.
There you go.
Electric mowers.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds interesting. I look forward to hearing more about it as it March approaches.
Yeah. We'll be watching for it. Yeah, that's a good time. Just in time for the spring mowing season.
I was going to say, they have to say good weather.
Yeah. Yeah. I would I do find myself in, especially in the top-down Zelda games, I do find myself wanting to cut all the grass with Link's sword. if you start clearing a patch of grass, you kind of need to do all of it, right?
And that's something I really missed in the newer Zelda games.
Mm.
How often do you find a rupee? Just in the grass? Yeah. I feel like never. Not never, but...
Really?
I think in the more recent games, I spend more time burning the grass than I do cutting it.
Yeah.
Catching it on fire for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder if there's burning capabilities in Lawn Mowing Simulator. Like your mower could explode and cause havoc.
Whoa, we're getting dark now.
Yeah. Since they're branded mowers, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. None of them want to put their hand up for that. Our mowers do not explode.
Yeah. Do they have a mini game where you can reach up to unclog the mower and it kicks on right when your hand's in there?
Yeah. Hey, Bart, you've got little hands. Can you?
Yes.
That's good. Thank you. Okay. All right. Let's move on then. Games we're playing. We have a healthy list of games we're playing. So I'll start. So Composer World is my current review title, which was sitting in the queue for a little while. I've picked it up. I was semi-interested in this previously, but I guess, I had Prince of Persia, so I kind of didn't worry too much about it. But it was still there post-Prince of Persia, so I'm like, okay, I'll take Composer World. And what it is, what the name implies, you're a composer, you can create music. It's very no frills, very clean interface, I guess, but it's simple. Which is good. It's simple to use. There's no tutorial that I saw, which is fine. It's very easy to pick up. You just place musical instruments on, you know, a music stave, is that what it's called? You know, with the treble clef and the lines. You need to know music, though, I think. You could guess, but I think it helps to know what notes are. Like, I don't know if you would know, at least, Kirk, because you played a trombone, didn't you, back in the day?
Oh, so you know, and bass and piano.
And bass, exactly. So, yeah, and I played piano and trumpet and guitar, and especially piano, that seemed to be the one I played the most. And I know what a C is on, you know, on the clef, on the, God, what is it called? Is it the stave?
I think we just called it staff.
Staff, right. Okay.
You may be right. Maybe I'm remembering that.
It's been a long time since I've referenced that. But, yeah, you know, I know what a C is, I know what an E is. You can add sharps in here and there. But if you don't know what a C major scale is, for example, or a G major scale that has F sharps in it, you're going to make some pretty noisy music if you just randomly put sharps in here and there. But, hey, it might work out for you. Whereas I know what notes are and what notes work well together, so it was pretty easy to put together a simple tune. And it's really cool and it's fun, and you can test it as you go. And the one thing I have to say is there are, I guess on the screen there's one stave, I'm going to call it that even if it's right, and you can fit, you can change the timing. Like it starts off with 4-4 timing. You can obviously change that. But if you put your four notes in, then you've got kind of, 200 of these to fill, so you can make quite a decently long song, which I think is pretty impressive. So if you, it takes time, you've got to spend time doing this obviously, and you know, each section of the music you want to put different instruments in. Oh, you could just do a simple acoustic song, or you could do a piano or whatever. You can just put one instrument in and make a very nice light song, or you can put in your drums, your bass, your guitar, whatever. You can put in loads of music and really build it up, which is what I did because I like songs that start off sort of softly and then build up kind of crescendo. So I played around with that. You can choose your, I guess, theme of music. So you can start with like an orchestra, which would have, you know, violins kind of thing, flutes, that sort of thing. You can choose like, I think it's called pop category, which is where your guitars and bass and that sort of thing are. You can do even there's like an, I think there's, gosh, there must be 8 to 10 different categories to choose from, and one of them is like a retro category, and it's like 8-bit style, which is really cute and cool as well. You were going to say something? No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say that's probably a good inclusion, because if you're using like a switch to create music, those sound really cool with fewer parts. Like you just get 3 decent harmonies and you've got a really good like 8-bit chiptune kind of sound. So I think it would be easier to write that kind of thing and more fun to listen to on the Switch.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly right.
Can you use touchscreen or like if you're in handheld mode, are you able to do it that way? Because I think
I haven't tested that. Yeah, I'm going to test that. I'll test that.
Holly is her duct. Remember? That's why she doesn't have a drift.
Yeah. <We're cracking>. No. Of course, I play handheld sometimes, but no, I have been playing this one on the screen in doctor mode. So I will give that a try because that is a really good question. I would think that would be actually really useful to have touchscreen. Yeah, that would actually make it really good because, you know, the instruments are at the top. You've got your musical layout at the bottom, which is the, you know, 90% of the screen is that. So you can place things easily. You just click on, it's a bit like, God, is it a bit like Mario Paint? We just click and then point at things, maybe?
I was going to ask you, did they even have Mario Paint release in your neck of the woods, Gemma?
It did, yes.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Because I think if I remember, I'm glad you took this one because I was close to taking it out of the queue because it had been, you know, so long. But I think the dev said they were inspired by Mario Paint. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it has a very similar feel to it, even aesthetically, just that simple, clean interface. You know, it is missing maybe a little bit of personality in terms of Mario Paint had, what was it, that little fly game that you could play? It just had, you know, Mario-isms. There's no little person, and maybe you don't want that. You know, you don't want, like in Word, you just have that little clip. What was that clip called? Clippy the Clip.
Oh,
there's no, like, little dude telling you what to do, like, hey, click here. There's none of that, but you probably don't need it. Like, it's, I don't know, but maybe a bit of personality would help.
The Prince of Persia bird.
Yes, I would like that. But no, it's fun. It's very easy to use, and then you can play it back. It's just a very simple interface. It looks retro in style, like it's a bit blocky, I suppose, which is, it's done that way on purpose, I imagine, because it's based on Mario Paint. So it looks like a Mario Paint clone almost. Yeah, I can definitely see I can see how that relates. Absolutely. Yeah, and then you can save your song, you can name it, and you can, I believe you can upload it. I haven't tried that yet, so I'll check that out as well. But I believe you can share it somehow, or at least export it or something. There's some way to share it with somebody.
So you can do a new jingle for the podcast.
Oh, okay, I could. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I'd have to get it approved. My committee, are you the committee?
Well, wait, yeah. Which committee approved the first one?
Me.
I don't remember being consulted.
Yeah. No. Oh, well. No, so it's fun. It's a fun little, it's almost like an app, really, I'd say, more than a game. But yeah, it's cute. It's fun. So I'll get my review up during the week, and I'll let you know my full thoughts. Do we want to continue with me, or does someone want to have a go? What did you want me to keep?
I do want to continue with you, Gemma, because
yeah,
I noticed you have Golden Sun 2. And so does that mean you upgraded your Switch Online?
No, I had that already. I had upgraded it when we played Mario, Dr. Mario. Was Game Boy Advance?
It had run out, though. So I guess it was an automatic renewal?
Yes, it just renewed automatically. So I still have it. So, and I had to update, obviously, the Game Boy Advance area of Switch Online, and you know, a few games popped up, and I haven't checked that section for a while. So I was like, "Oh, I should play Fire Emblem, really," but I didn't. I played Golden Sun 2 just because that is the new game.
And why did you start with 2?
Well, because I played Golden Sun 1 before, and so I thought I should play 2. But I'm actually wondering if I should go back and play Golden Sun. Because
it's been
a while
since you played the first one. Oh,
it's been a long time. I don't remember much of it at all. And Golden Sun 2 has this really long introduction. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what is all this? What is going on? It sort of starts at the end of the first game, I think, from what I can tell. You're kind of amid the action. But there's a really long sort of screen of text that you have to read. It was a bit too much, really, to be honest. It's like, come on, is it really necessary? But I guess if you haven't played the first one, maybe you need that background. But I'm just like reading it, I'm going, I'm just not remembering any of this. It's just too much. All these people going to all these places. Just say alchemy is coming back into the world and let's move on. it's a lot. So yeah, it's a long introduction to this one to go through. And then I completely forgotten one of the heroes in the game is called Jenna. Not Gemma, which is my name, but Jenna with 2 N's. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's very close to my name. So yeah, I couldn't rename her, unfortunately. Otherwise I probably just would have changed it to me, but you can rename her brother, who's, I guess, the main character. And then there's some other one you can rename as well. But I'm like, why can't I rename Jenna? it's like someone's just saying my name wrong. So yeah, it's interesting. So at the start, you kind of, you float away on this island. There's an earthquake and this island floats away and you're in this new land and you have to investigate. And I think, I'm not really sure what my goal is at the moment, but basically they're trying to light these towers to bring alchemy back into the world because the world used to be magical and then humans, as usual, got too greedy and they took it away and now they're trying to get it back again. So that's kind of the gist of it, I suppose. But it's, you know, it looks, I just love these style of games. It's like the top-down kind of look. It's the retro graphics. It's the turn-based battles.
Is alchemy technically magic? Or is it its own thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's magic. It's a type of magic, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yes. So have you played either of these before, Trev?
Science. No, I haven't. I was aware of it, and it uses what, like elemental stones or something for like the the combat or whatever. I think that's what.
Yeah, psycho. It's called psycho. Kinetics or something they have. Yeah. I don't know.
I had a buddy of mine that had the game, but it was never one that I picked up. Of course, I picked up my GBA a little bit later in life.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of RPGs on the GBA. I don't know how many there were, but I was more, the DS was my, I played RPGs on the Super Nintendo, but when in handheld mode, it was more the DS for me and the 3DS. I play a lot of RPGs.
Alchemy is the forerunner of chemistry, concerned particularly with attempts to mix base metals into gold.
Yeah, that's its
origin. I think it is a little different.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. That's what they're calling it.
I'm nitpicky. So. Yeah, I know it. I haven't played the game, so I have nothing else to talk about.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's interesting. I think when I started Golden Sun 2, it said, do you want to transfer your data from Golden Sun 1? I didn't because I hadn't played it on the Switch online, at least. So I had no data to transfer. I don't know what that means, though. I don't know what you would have transferred. I'm like, would I have been a higher level if I did that?
Maybe it starts off easier.
Mm.
Although you would think if you played the first one, you wouldn't want an easier. Yeah, I don't know.
True. Yeah, true.
It could just be customizations, like if you had a name or anything, or does it have like relationships with other characters that you can build up for bonuses? Or was that too advanced for the time?
Yeah, I don't think so, but I don't remember. But yeah, definitely names, I guess.
Other maybe stats, Alice maybe. And let us know.
Sorry? Oh, yeah, yeah. Like let us know, listeners, if you know. Yeah, yes, exactly. Anyway, so yeah, it's fun. I'll keep going. But let's move on to another game. Otherwise, you guys won't get a chance to talk. So, and this, I wondered if you had heard of this one because it's called Eastwood. And I had not heard of it at all. But I just noticed in Australia at the moment, it's a game trial. So it's another one of those free games for like 4 days or something. I think it ends on the 24th of January. So if you're in Australia, this game is currently free to play in its entirety. So you could realistically play the entire game for free if you finish it in the couple of days left and never have to pay for it. It is 40% off at the moment. I didn't know.
You don't promote that, but...
No, I know, but you could. You could do that. I think it's a 20 or 30 hour game apparently, but it's an RPG again. It's a top-down style, which I love. It's very quirky and different. And sorry, had you guys heard of this at all? Eastwood? It's from 2021.
Yeah, it's a little bit old. I seem to remember it a little bit back in the day. Probably most people who wanted it maybe bought it already. So
probably, exactly.
Maybe that's why they're doing a trial.
Yeah, it's an odd trial, I guess. I thought they tended to trial newer games. This is an older game, 3 years old. But I hadn't heard of it, and now I'm playing it. And it's pretty fun. It's not like you're in a fantasy world. You're in, I guess it's kind of a futuristic world. You're a miner, and I've only kind of done the prologue so far, but essentially you're this miner, and you have a daughter called Sam. I think she's your daughter. She calls you John. She doesn't call you dad. So I don't know. There's two characters who work together anyway, a girl and a man who are father and daughter situation. He's a miner. He goes to work. Something happens. There's an invasion of slugs you got to take care of. So you're battling slugs. And then you go back home and make dinner. So that's all I've done so far. No. Thankfully not. Yeah, there's a few little puzzles. You have to connect like electricity and stuff like that to open doors, little simple things like that. There's this cool thing, though, where Sam, the girl, she's trying to make some friends, and you have to buy her a memory card so she can play this game. I can't remember what the game's called, but you actually get to play it, and it's like a turn-based battle game. Very, very simple graphics. But you play as her playing the game, and you have to fight this demon king, and you have to use your knight and attack, and it's like... It's interesting. It's very interesting. Very strange. Yeah. I don't know what I think of it yet, but it's fun. I'll say that.
Well, it finally got you off that watermelon game, so that's got to be worth something.
Has it, though?
I just noticed one of the reasons why they may be making it available for free is because there is DLC for the game that is coming out January 31st.
Oh, there you go. That does make sense. Okay, interesting. So if you've tried it and then you may buy it, I guess. There's probably a percentage of people who would try these things and buy them. Yeah. Because they like it, especially if it's on discount right now. And then, oh, there's DLC. Okay, cool. So, yeah. I mean, I would say if you're in Australia, give it a go. It's not a huge download. It's a fun little, quirky little title to give a go. So there's nothing to lose in that. It's like a demo, but it's the full game. So give it a go. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that, I think. Let's move on to you, Kirk. I saw this news as well, actually, about Sea of Stars that you're about to tell us.
Yeah. Now I'm a little mad that I went ahead and bought it because I would have liked to have purchased the physical edition, I think. Mm-hmm. But there is a physical edition coming out. I did not write down the date, so maybe while talking, someone can find that. But yeah, it's going to be released physically. We talked last week and you asked me if it started differently from the demo, and I had a brain cramp and didn't answer because I couldn't remember where the demo took place. Yeah, it's completely different. It starts completely different from the demo. Your kids, basically. Sets up the relationship between the three main characters that you use throughout the game. And then it's not too long before we get to where the demo was. Teak, I think, was in the demo, and we meet her pretty early on in the game. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely love playing it. I talked about the interaction within the world where you kind of like have to click and move around. You feel like you're part of the environment instead of floating above it. And Justin mentioned this when he talked about the game a while back, but even in the battles, you don't just have to sit, they're turn-based, but you don't just sit and observe after you decide how you're going to attack. You can time button hits to create more damage if you hit at the right time or to block. And each of the enemies that you fight has a different attack pattern, so you got to remember that in order to block at the right time. It really just keeps you engaged along those lines. And without giving away any spoilers, you aren't fighting with the same three people throughout the whole game. Other characters who you think aren't really part of it, eventually they kind of like come in and out of your party. So that keeps things fresh too. A lot of little decisions like that that just keep it engaging throughout the course of the game.
Very cool. And to answer your question, the physical edition launches on May the 10th.
There you go. Oh, you did get a date. See, I only found quarter two. Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's when the DLC will be available also then. It would make sense to kind of release those at the same time.
Yeah. Every time I look at a trailer or stills of that game, I just think how lovely it looks. I probably should get it.
Oh, quarter two. I guess there's a different... There's two editions. There's like the retail edition, and then there's one from I Am 8-Bit that looks like it has some exclusive, like a cover art, stickers. That one's quarter two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but the physical release... Yeah, apparently it's May the 10th, which is cool.
I do want to add, even though I haven't played it, from looking at the description on Nintendo's site, you're battling an evil alchemist.
it's a staple, isn't it, in RPGs, I think, alchemy. Right?
I think so. I think so. They basically find various different ways to boil down magic, I mean.
Yeah. Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean... At least you got to play it sooner, I suppose, Kirk, because you'd have to wait till May the 10th otherwise, which would be a long time.
although it's not like I had room to add that. I keep bouncing back and forth between that and the Personify Royal, which we may or may not go into again during this conversation. But yeah, these big games with big stories and a lot of combat, and I, you know, keep diving down that hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And it's, you certainly make it sound awesome, which, you know, having tried the demo, it is very cool. What else have you got that you're playing at the moment?
I'm actually reviewing a game, believe it or not. Since I'm not reviewing Sea of Stars, we have Bill on that. Legend of Steel Empire is kind of a remaster of an old shmup, but an interesting one. It has a story, again, a light story. We're not, you know, we're not writing Moby Dick with this, but some really unique combat and visuals. It's got like the steampunk kind of vibe to it. The main aircraft that you're flying, you have a choice of two, but one of them is a big old like dirigible, kind of a blimp. The interesting thing about it is, aside from the fact that it's obviously very difficult because it's a shmup, you know, maybe some people are better at these than I am. Many people are better at these than I am. You, as you're playing, attacks come from both sides. You have two different buttons for shooting ahead or shooting behind. No matter which way you're shooting, of course, there are just a ton of bullets coming out, or lasers, whatever they are. I can't say. I hope they're lasers. Although the thing I don't understand about these games, where is all this ammunition coming from?
Yeah.
It's alchemy, Kirk.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to accept that answer. It makes things very easy. But so you're either shooting ahead of you or you're shooting behind. There are different buttons for each, and you can't do them both at the same time. So you're kind of positioning your ship based on where the attack is coming from. And like you'll be fighting a train, and it's at the right-hand side of the screen, and you're flying in from the left. So you're shooting ahead, but then it repositions itself. And now you've got to go to the other side and start shooting behind while other people are coming in. The other craft you have, as you're shooting, automatically drops bombs. So if you're on a level where you've got a bunch of ground attacks coming from the ground, then you want to switch to that so you can also take them out. Although the blimp, you know, as you're flying along, you can get these sort of like hovering things that appear above and below and make your firing line thicker. So you could just fly down lower and still take care of some of the ground things while they're coming at you. It's an awful lot, but it's very well done and one of the more engaging shmups that I've played. I'm not too far into it, though. These tend to, the novelty wears off for me after a while, especially as they become too difficult. Mm-hmm. But there are, I think, 5 difficulty levels to this game. So if, you know, it's a little too much and you find yourself shying away from it because it's just too hard to get through, you can, you know, just dumb down the difficulty and push your way through, I think.
Cool. It looks really good. I did notice that on this week's eShop roundup. So that's out, I think, on the 23rd or something like that. Like, it's coming out this week.
Yep.
Yeah. Looks fun. But I love a good shoot 'em up.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Looks challenging.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll just add too.
Yeah.
If anyone's curious to get a different take, Steel Empire was also released on the 3DS, and I reviewed it some 10 years ago.
Oh, ooh. I didn't even look back.
That's an old review. The score didn't even transfer. I think I gave it an 8.5, and okay. I probably would have scored it higher if it wasn't $30 for a digital only game. I noticed this one's even cheaper.
Yeah, so. $25.
Yeah, I'm sure it has, you know, more options, better visuals, so. Yeah, I'll be excited to read your final thoughts, but I absolutely adored it on 3DS. So
cool.
You won't remember this, but I have to ask, when you first launched the game and we're going through like the developer title screens and such, this game had one of the most annoying audio effects I have ever heard in my life. And it was so annoying and went on for so long that I thought it was a glitch. Do you have any memory of that, Trev? Or is that... That's something just with the new version.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. I think I remember they were like, they almost look like old newsreels. Like,
well, this was before this. This is when they were just showing the logos.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm going to boot up my copy after we stop recording and check it out.
Yeah.
It seems like something I would have noticed because I'm really, audio is so important. I mean, let me just browse the review here, see if I mentioned it. Maybe not. Do you use headphones or like a...
No, yeah, it was straight through the TV.
You do mention the front and rear, bullets though, which Craig mentioned. Yeah.
I can't even find mention of, how did I not mention any audio? That doesn't sound like me.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Well, this was 10 years ago. I wasn't nearly as... Oh, wait, here we go. The audio fares just as favorably, if not better. I mentioned a sound player, background too. I guess not, Kirk. Maybe it didn't make much of an impression on me.
All right.
Was it just right at the very beginning, once only? Or is it every time you start it, every time you boot it up?
It's every time.
Oh, okay. That's annoying.
Yeah, I said it could just be that that's the audio clip that they wanted to have associated with it, and it's a weird choice. I'm going to equate it to something nobody's ever going to understand, but Lou Reed's Metal Machine Music album.
Right.
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed sounds
Walk on the Wild Side? Is that Lou Reed?
Yeah, listen, keep in mind, I am a huge Lou Reed fan. I've seen him in concert. I've met him. I have his autograph. Listen to Walk on the Wild Side and then go onto YouTube and just pull up Metal Machine Music and listen to that for a bit. And okay, be.
That's our homework, okay.
Hey, speaking of music, not to get too off topic, but there is a track, I'm thinking about it now, in Steel Empire. It's near the end of the game. It doesn't really sound like anything from Flash Gordon, but I could totally picture it being in Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Right when Gordon and the Hawkmen are getting ready to dive there at the end. And
oh, like in Vanguard. Do you remember the arcade game Vanguard?
Yeah. This one doesn't really sound like it, but it has very much the same spirit. Like I could totally picture an alternate soundtrack wasn't done by Queen having this music.
Yeah, because I think Vanguard, they must have completely aped that melody of is it Voltan's theme or Battle theme? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. They totally did.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
good music, though. Good music. I hope. Does the Swift version have a music player? Or do you have to unlock
it? I didn't look. I'll check to see if it does have one. But yeah, the music is good. I will let go of that.
Cool. Sounds like a fun time, apart from that noise. Thank you, Kirk. Let's hear from you, Trev. What are you playing at the moment?
Yeah, so I ended up taking for review a sequel to a game that I reviewed a couple years back, and that's Hidden Through Time 2, which is a game that I think a few of us on Pure Nintendo have played and enjoyed. I know Justin likes the first one. And it's more of the same in a lot of ways, which is a good thing. It's a little bit, I tend to, especially when I play with my wife, we tend to have a knack for finding little bugs,
mm-hmm.
like things I wouldn't even normally encounter on my own. So I'll have to check. Actually, I think Kirk got this one. I'll have to check if there's any documentation about maybe an upcoming patch or anything, because there's a few little glitchy things that they might be polishing out, because this game's not out yet. It comes out next week or this week if this post Monday. So, aside, it's still a really good game. If you like, that kind of like a Where's Waldo type experience in digital form.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And I think it's more challenging than the first game. Like we're zooming in and I'm standing in front of the TV and we're like standing on the screen and I'm like, I can't find this thing. And then once you see it, you wonder how you missed it.
You're going to go blind if you stand that close to the TV.
It's true. But it's fun. It does have, it feels a little slapdash because the moniker is, I think it's like Myths and Magic or maybe Myths and Alchemy. I don't know. But they try to have these story elements, which is cool. They're like narrated. But they feel a little out of place, like there's this thing you could do. It's divided into like chapters, and there's one you go through the 80s, and you see little fun nods, like a Marty McFly looking character, someone wearing sunglasses at night or whatever. But then it has like this little witch and like these little, I don't know, skeletons. It's like, how does this fit thematically with the 80s? Like, it feels like almost like they have two story ideas and they couldn't decide which to settle on. So they're like, let's do both.
Right.
It doesn't totally work for me, but the core gameplay is fun and everything is lively and animated. You're not just staring at, static screens. Like all the characters are alive. You can click on pretty much anything and get an animation.
Cool.
So it's a lot of fun. And even though it is, it's not a multiplayer game per se, it's a lot of fun playing with people because you can all study the screen and shout out ideas and things like that. So
That I think I did the review of the first one in this series, and that's exactly how we played it. We all on the big TV, definitely one that's better docked than in handheld mode, and you gather everyone around and just see who can find what.
Yeah, widescreen is really good for these types of games. So, and it has a online implementation, which I haven't experimented with yet. But yeah, hopefully that's fun too. Maybe sort of like Mario Maker-ish, where you can actually design your own levels and hide items. And I just hope it's not clunky. The first one was a little clunky, but you know, here we are a couple years later, so I'm sure it's
more. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, the first one got an 8 from us, which is pretty decent. Yeah. Just speaking of handheld, though, what happens if you do play it on handheld? Can you use a touchscreen to like zoom in, like pinch and zoom, or
you can use the touchscreen? And I know this because one of those earlier when I was referencing little like glitches, there's one part where there's an item we need to click, but it's the hitbox is a little off, so you end up hitting the character in front of it. And we could not hit it to save the life of us. So I took it in handheld mode and I tried doing it with my finger to see if it could make a difference, and it didn't. So, but not because it didn't work. It does work. You know, it's just that particular thing was a little buggy. But so you can play it in handheld mode if you want to, you know, use. I don't recommend finger. I would use a capacitive stylus so you don't leave fingerprints. But
yeah. Cool. No, that's good.
I imagine younger gamers, that's probably how they want to play, because they're used to playing like maybe mobile type games.
Yeah. No, it's good it has that. It would be, yeah, it wouldn't be as much fun or interactive, I think, if you had to use controls to zoom in, which you could do, but then you got to move the cursor around. And I mean, obviously you're doing that on the big screen. Yeah.
Options.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Oh, yeah. And it looks, Trevor, like you did review the first one for us, but I had it and played it, so.
Yeah, I know a few of us ended up playing it, and I know we kind of
maybe we got multiple codes.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe I bought it. Maybe your review was so good that you sold me on it, and I went ahead and purchased it.
Let's go with that. That sounds probably incredible.
Yeah.
we all do buy many of the games we play here at Pure Nintendo. I should point that out.
Maybe yes, we do. Obviously, that's true.
It's true. I trust, you know, I'm biased, but I trust our reviews more than pretty much anyone, because I know that we put the effort into it. We're not getting a code and flipping a review out, you know, after playing it for, you know, 20 minutes. We really, you know, put a lot of time into it. And we're not perfect, but I feel like we are honest.
Yeah, definitely. We take our work seriously. That's what we do. Nice. Thank you. I'm looking forward to your final thoughts.
We want to save people money. Not everyone gets codes, you know. Yeah. Listeners have to buy these games. So if a game's not fun, we want you to save your money and put it towards something that is good, is worth your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We always take the price into consideration. You even mentioned it in your.
Thank goodness our hobby is really, though, been spared inflation. I mean, you know, what's a new game nowadays? $60? That's what a new game was when I was a kid.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. Yeah, it hasn't gone up as much as everything else around us. So, yeah, which is crazy, really, when you think about it. I guess technology has improved, so maybe it's cheaper to make them, so inflation counteracts that, and hopefully
we'll have to see with the Switch 2 if like the $70 for Tears of the Kingdom might be the new norm. I hope not.
Well, but that would still be worth. Well, let's have this conversation on it for the
rest. Yeah. Yeah.
We could talk for half an hour on the pricing of video games. What is
we could. We could. We could. All right. Well, next time an expensive game comes out, we'll make that an agenda item. But to close off the show, let's go with our Switch 2 rumor of the week, which I don't know. This was my idea. I just thought it was fun because, you know, the Switch, everyone's talking about this right now. It seems to be. If Nintendo isn't already planning to release a Switch 2, I feel like they're going to have to, because
we're manifesting it.
We are. We're totally
willing it into existence.
Yeah, exactly. So three main points. I don't know what yours is, Trev. I'm looking forward to knowing what this is, but my two first. So I noticed during the week that on Twitter, Super Switch was trending, the term Super Switch. And that's something I first heard when we had Barry from Premium Edition Games on the show last year. He called it the Super Switch, you know, the Switch successor. And I loved it. I'm like, oh, that is so cool. I would definitely be behind that. And I think there was an article someone was saying, hey, what would you like to the Switch the Switch 2 to be called, and people were throwing all these ideas out, and Super Switch was trending. I think a lot of people have that nostalgic, you know, Super Nintendo vibe to it, obviously. So it was interesting to see that trend. I don't know if it's possible. I you know, and obviously people then bring up the Wii U and how that was a mistake. And we've talked about this before, that whether a naming convention such as Switch 2 would be safer for Nintendo. I mean, I was thinking about the history of Nintendo and how sometimes they change things a lot, you know, like Nintendo 64 to GameCube to Wii, you know, they're very different names. They never really had a sequel situation, right? Like maybe Nintendo to Super Nintendo could be classified slightly that way. And maybe the Game DS Boy, the 3DS, Game Boy to Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, they kept that. And I think people weren't confused by that though, right? People knew the Game Boy Advance was a new Game Boy. So I don't know that you need to dumb it down to say Switch 2. Just for the, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I also remember we used to talk about the next Nintendo console, whereas now we're talking about the Switch successor. So I feel like it's changed where we were all excited about what's the next Nintendo console going to be. But now we're like, what's the Switch successor going to be? Like we want another Switch. We just want a more powerful or whatever Switch. Do you think that's a thing? Like it seems like it feels different to previous Nintendo console iterations where.
Well, maybe people are more hesitant to call the Switch a console because it is a hybrid. Like for some, it is a home console. They leave it in the dock. For others, it's a handheld. They play like Switch Lite. And then for people like us, maybe it's a little bit of both. So maybe people just don't like to be, you know, hemmed into a corner with phrasing. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. And I mean, it is a successor. It's the next whatever it is. I mean, you would think, but you can never tell with Nintendo. The Switch has been so good and so successful. Would they keep this as now their standard, right? This is going to, or at least for a little while, they're going to keep this line, just like they kept the DS line for a while, the Game Boy line for a while.
It's worked for PlayStation. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. They haven't varied. I mean, they obviously beef up the specs and they look different, but it's a home console each time and they just add a number to it. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know whether they would go the Super Switch. I think it's really cool though. Just to say that. I think it sounds cool. Yeah. They could call it the Super Switch 2. I don't know.
Super Switch new.
The new Nintendo Super Switch 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Advanced. Yeah. I know. And I didn't even, I didn't even mention the new thing because that was, I mean, it made it clear that it was new. Right. But, it was not the best naming convention.
It's a killer for eBay searches. I hop on eBay. I'm looking for a new Super Mario. Factory seal. No. I don't care if it's loose. You want new.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's funny. The other interesting thing that I thought, this is a rumor, obviously. These are all rumors. I saw an article that Xenoblade Chronicles X was being remade for the Switch 2, which I thought you would find interesting, Kirk, at least, because it's a Wii U game. And obviously Nintendo does like to port its Wii U games to the Switch currently. How would you feel about a Xenoblade Chronicles X remake for the Switch 2?
I would have tremendous emotions going both directions if they did that. Xenoblade Chronicles X, I played on the Wii U. I greatly enjoyed it, although it is probably my least favorite of the four games that have come out. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means I didn't connect with like the whole mech thing on it the way I have with the fantasy elements of the other ones. This was more like hard mech sci-fi. Although it's still very much, what's that?
You need the alchemy, right?
Yeah, I need more alchemy. Although I'll also say I played this game when Sam was young and he would just watch me play video games. And there's a point in the game where when you first create your robots, they're just robots. And they walk around and they can do things and you can fight with them. But there comes a point where you get the ability for them to fly. And the first time my robot was walking or running and then became an aircraft and took off, I remember it like it just happened yesterday. Sam was looking at it and says, "That is the coolest thing I have ever seen." And I like to think that is the moment where he understood video games and took off and went. So that may have been the thing that did it. But I'm still not sure how it worked because it was so tied into the what did we call the Wii U's gamepad? Was it a gamepad? The separate screen?
Yeah, it was a gamepad. Yeah.
So tied into that with you would use that to map things out and look at the screen. It really needed both screens. So they can't just port this. They've got to redo how that whole interface worked. And I would see how it I'm curious to see how they do it. I hope they do because that is one of the games I actually traded in, unfortunately, when I got my Switch. And I regret it because I still have my Wii U in the basement and I would love to play it again. It's the only one that I haven't played more than once of the Xenoblade Chronicles games.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope they make the whole lobster challenge a lot easier to do because that took forever and then the final boss battle at the end was very difficult.
Right.
Anyone who's played the game will know what I'm talking about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Okay. I mean, I could see that happening. I could see them, like you said, they'd have to retool it quite significantly because it was tied in with the gamepad. But
and maybe expand it a bit because it was a lot shorter. It was based more on missions and relationships with the characters. And like once you got through those, if you focused on that, the game would end very fast. It was more about just go explore and do whatever you want. And I think a little more guidance or reason to go out and do things would be good. So I would like to see them add content if they do remake this game.
Yeah. And you say
or maybe
short.
That's a clue. Maybe the Switch 2 is going to have two screens.
Ooh.
Somehow.
Maybe. Switch DS?
I've heard that. I heard it from Kirk, but I've heard it.
The new Nintendo Super Switch DS 2.
XL. Two. I would support another dual screen situation. I love the DS. It was great. Oh well, we wouldn't put it past Nintendo. That's a rumor. That's a good rumor of the week. We just made that rumor up. So there you
go. Let's get it. Everyone.
Yeah.
Spread it around. And maybe
spread it. Get it trending.
Could they have games that somehow support an app on your phone and then the game connects to that and you use your like any external device as your second screen while you're playing? Ooh. Why hasn't anyone done that?
Yeah, like a Jackbox kind of situation, right?
He uses it for the controller, yeah, but this actually passes the screen elements to
Ooh, that's a cool idea.
Well, there you go.
Nintendo could do their own smartphone.
Well, that's something I've thought of too. Yeah, honestly, even I think before the Switch came out, I thought, you know, Nintendo was getting into the mobile market. Obviously, the mobile market was competing with Nintendo's handhelds, right? Like people were playing games on mobiles instead of the DS, right? So I thought, what if Nintendo just made a phone, a Nintendo phone? I mean, I would buy that.
Nintendo phone.
Nintendo phone, yeah. I would totally buy a Nintendo phone. Hello. That'd be awesome. And then they could do the thing. Who was it who mentioned recently Nintendo having their games on phones? People want like NES games emulated on phones or something. I think someone said that a few weeks ago. Then you could do that, but only on the Nintendo phone, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. I think Justin was saying that.
Yeah, but you need the controls, obviously. You do have to work a certain way. And I wouldn't want Nintendo to just make like a clone of a Samsung or an iPhone or whatever. I want them to make it a Nintendo phone. Like it would have to be cool, right? It'd have to be different and unique and special.
Phone cube.
Yes. Are you in marketing, Kirk? Because you're coming up with all these names.
Yeah, I'm in the marketing firm that just gets fired after a good laugh from every single client that takes us on.
well, I mean, that's how
it up, so.
That's how brainstorming works, isn't it? Someone says a bad idea and then it triggers good ideas or something. I don't know, but having said that, I like your ideas, don't get me wrong. I think they're cool. But anyway, the last item is that Trev tosses out a challenge. What is this, Trev? Tell us more.
All right, so I'll be quick for the sake of time because I know we're already over an hour, but I did listen last week to you and Kirk, and I know that you both sided with Justin's prediction about releasing this year.
Yes.
And fair enough. It's not a bad prediction, but I'm just going to throw this out for food for thought and maybe a little bit of homework. My question to you and to anyone who's listening, how many in the history of Nintendo, how many Nintendo home consoles have been announced and released in the same year?
Ooh, I don't know. I'll have to do the research on that one. I'm guessing it's not many. I'm guessing it's a very low number.
I do know, and it just makes me, well, look it up and get back to me, because I feel like my prediction, I wasn't just saying it to be different. No, I did put something
I totally respect that now that you point that out.
Yes, me too. Me too. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we will look it up and we will get back to you on that one. Thank you for that challenge.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else to add before we close things off for the week? No?
I think I've talked enough.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me this week. Thank you, listeners, for joining us as well, and we hope you enjoyed the show. If you would like to support us, we have a bi-monthly magazine that we're working on our next issue right now, so you can head on over to patreon.com/pewnintendo and sign up for the next issue coming out soon. We also are on Blue Sky now as well, so if you're a Blue Sky what do you call it, Trev? The invitee, I guess. If you're from the Blue Sky,
still doing those codes.
Yeah, so. But if you're on Blue Sky, there's a lot of people on there. Look us up. We're still on Twitter/X as well, and you can find us also. I didn't mention last week. We're also on Mastodon. We're trying that platform as well. So have a look for us on Mastodon, and follow us, please, and let us know your thoughts on the show. Until next week, though. Thank you both, and game on, everybody. Bye.
Yeah.